It really was some awesome singing this morning. It amazes me as we study God's Word and we know the truth that all Scripture is inspired and God-breathed and given to us for all the things that God has given to us for. But it gets a little bit more complex when you think of the different people that have actually contributed to the 66 books of the Bible. The different personality traits, the different writing styles, who they are, what they did. When we think of the Apostle Paul, his writing style coming of one with much knowledge, a Pharisee of Pharisees, he referred to himself as. Had he remained in the path that he was on, I very seriously could have maybe seen him as, you know, within the circle of the high priest, maybe being a high priest himself. We see people like Luke, also a very knowledgeable and smart individual, a doctor in his day, and how he wrote both Luke and Acts. And I could name everybody that wrote, but I'm not going to. But let's think of Peter. If I was to take a census today and have you raise your hand, and I would say, how many people in this room would like to see themselves be like the Apostle Paul? I imagine we would have quite a few arms lifted. As, oh, I would love to be, have the reputation that he had. And sometimes I think if we say, how many people would want to be like Peter? We might shy away from him because of all the things that we learned of him from the Gospels. You know, Peter is often referred to as the apostle with the foot-shaped mouth. I can relate. But the more I study Peter, the more I hope that God could make me at least 10% of the man that he was. And as we're going to start the book of 2 Peter today, it takes a very, a very different turn from his first letter. As we just finished the first letter, we remember, should be on the top of our heads. I think we drilled it into our heads over and over again. Just the loving and compassionate approach that Peter had to these aliens and strangers living in the land of modern-day Turkey, trying to find their way in a godless world, being godly people. And we saw the love, we saw the compassion that Peter had. And as we start 2 Peter, the theme of 2 Peter is a little bit different. You know, gone is kind of the adherence to the helps to get through daily life. And 2 Peter is more of a letter of warning to these dear Christians. And we're not going to get that far today. That was my intention. But I felt some need to kind of spend a little bit of time in an introduction to get us where we're at. Now, we remember that 1 Peter was written sometime probably in the early AD 60s. Okay, Nero was Caesar. He was just coming into his time of torment towards his people and especially towards Christians. And the people that Peter was writing to was contemplating everything that was going on. Second Peter is written more shortly before Peter's death. Peter knows that his time is limited. In verse 1:14, Peter says, "Knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ had made it clear." And remember, as we finished out John, the Gospel of John, that Jesus had a conversation with Peter that basically said, "You are going to die for me." And Peter, seeing that time is approaching quickly, he needs to get this message out. We look at the world and we look at the church today and we say, man, what a mess. We see all different kinds of teachings. We see all different kinds of attitudes. We see the church going in many different directions. And some of us say, oh, I just wish that I lived back with Charles Ingalls and little Laura when Christianity was much more pure and the world was much better. Christianity wasn't pure then either. Peter starts warning the church some 30 years after the resurrection of Christ. Some 30 years after the establishment of the church. Some 30 years after 3,000 people were saved on the day of Pentecost. As the message begins to skew. And that's going to be the theme of this letter as we go through it. Now, we know this is Peter's second letter because in chapter 3, verse 1, he actually refers back to his first letter. He says, "This now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by the way of a reminder." Okay, so he's basically writing to the same people, but just with a little different theme. Peter begins by introducing himself. He's Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Christ. Now, these people know Peter. They had his first letter. So why reintroduce? I mean, kind of similar to his first time, 1 Peter 1:1, Peter, an apostle of Christ. So in that way, it's similar. I'm apostle. I have the authority to come to you. But notice, he adds bondservant. And, you know, the term for bondservant is a voluntary slave. That's how the Bible would define it. It would be a slave that, you know, the world does not understand. Believe me, I have a friend of mine that just, we went round and round on this. But the world does not understand slavery properly. It understands it wrongly because we've had much, much wrong ways of slavery. But biblically, slavery, or back during this time, a lot of slavery was more of a way of paying off a debt or, you know, making amends for something that you did. And so you would become a person's slave. And, you know, in the Old Testament, I believe slavery lasted 7 years. Then there was a year of Jubilee where you'd be freed. So keeping that kind of a context in mind, a bondservant or a bond slave was somebody who would have come to the end of their term as a slave and looked around and would have said, I don't have it so bad. I'm fed. I have a master or a lord or however you'd want to refer to the person who actually loves me and cares for me and wants what's best for me and my family. And he comes up one day and says, thank you for your hard work. I appreciate everything you've done. There's the gate. You are free. And that bond slave would say, could I just remain on with you? I appreciate the love and concern that you have for me and my family. And a sign of that would be they would take them up to a tree or a post. They would bring out an awl. Blake, what's an awl? An awl is a tool that's got a sharp point on the end. So, I mean, we could use it today for if we wanted to put a nail in something. We take the awl, we put the awl in our screw, and then we'd have a hole to start with. I don't even know what they're used for. So, but I know one thing they were used for was for poking a hole into a slave's ear to designate what they were and who they were. Peter says, I'm a bondservant. I voluntarily give my life to my new master, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live for him because of the love that he has for me. But more importantly, I see within this term servant is Peter's willingness to associate himself with everyone else. Peter could have said, I'm an apostle. You just listen to me. I'm the king of the hill. You're all down here. But he associates himself with these people as their equal. You know, and as we were talking about sheep and shepherds, as we were closing out 1 Peter, remembering that shepherds are nothing more than just a little different level of sheep. Sheep with responsibility or a different responsibility. And that's how Peter saw himself. So as Peter is going to go through these few pages, there's only 3 chapters in the book, he's going to give warnings and admonitions on how we are to thwart, observe, and handle false doctrine and false teaching, even in our time today. My intent, and I really meant to do this, I'd started out at the beginning of the week, I wanted so badly to go into
1 Corinthians chapter 1. I wanted to, because I look at the world, I look at the church today, and guys, I came out of an understanding that what I was taught was right, and basically what any other church taught was wrong, or to be nicer, not quite right. And to be safe, to follow along here. The conundrum that I'm having is I have one of my best friends now leans a little bit more to the charismatic side of things. And where we differ in some of our practice, each of us see the fruits of the Spirit in the other. So I wanted to go into 1 Corinthians to bring up this whole, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Christ, I am of Cephas. And where Paul admonishes everyone to be united. Well, what does unity in today's church look like? And as I started studying that, I stopped. And I said to myself, you're trying to preach an agenda. So I'm not quite ready for that series yet. But hopefully the Lord will maybe even show us as we go through these warnings of Peter for false doctrine on how to handle it in our lives and in the lives of others. The Lord Jesus will work in the lives of his children. The Lord Jesus will work in those lives even when they're not quite knowledgeable completely on how things should be. And that's where we need to be diligent. That's where we need to make sure our faces are in this book all the time. And we can say, read the Bible daily. Is daily enough? Read the Bible hourly. Is hourly enough? I kind of like to take maybe the theme of the Lord's Supper. As often as you're in his word, make sure you're letting it influence your life. And we have more resources today than ever before. I was part of my study as I'm preparing for Sunday is to go through different sermons on the same text. And one of my go-tos, we were talking about trusting people and in Sunday school today, and I don't trust anybody anymore. But one of my more trusted pastors, not perfect, flawed just like us, but is John MacArthur. And as he was studying through and talking about this, he preached through 2 Peter in 19. He did chapter 1 in 1980, and then he preached the entire book in 1990. And in both of those times, things were much different than they are today. He would talk of the cassette tapes
flying out of the church for people who were requesting that sermon. And I remember that back from our former church back in the day. As the pastor would preach and people would like that sermon, they would go and they would give $2 or $3 and a copy of the tape would be made. And, you know, and we thought that was wonderful. You know, oh, we've got this tape. All we got to do is pop it into our tape machine and we can listen. Well, today, the whole library of anybody we want to listen to is available in an instant. Grace to You, Truth for Life, Grace Bible Fellowship. And Pat made the comment a couple months ago. She had gone back and re-listened to, I think it was a sermon from 1 Peter chapter 3. The the wife that is trying to win her husband. And she came and she said, how wonderful it is to know that the words that were spoken are now available pretty much forever. And guys, we have no excuse. We have no excuse for being in God's Word and studying God's Word. I spend a lot of time in my car. I spend a lot of time listening to different series and different, even scripture. I mean, you can have the Bible read to you. You know, Alexander Scobie. I know Justin Peters. He reads it. And he's got a rather pleasant voice. So, you know, it's neat. We're singing songs here on Sunday. Do you know how available different music is? And free? I take a lot of advantage of Pandora. And you can set your own stations. I have a contemporary Christian station. When I feel a little more like this. I have a hymns for worship station. When I feel a little bit more like this. My favorite, though, would be Sovereign Grace Radio. I like it because I feel that for the majority, the music is biblical. Takes us back to the days of the old hymns, when the old hymns were written for a purpose. You know, not just to say, oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, 17,000 times, and then the song is ended. Yeah, I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with that, but having a purpose and what, you know, His Mercy is More. That's one of the songs that's sung on that station. The music is full of, the station's full of music by Keith and his, who? Kristen Getty. I mean, just wonderful music. And stuff that warms your soul. And it's available, free. I pay $6.99 because I get a commercial for it. But it's free if you want it. No excuse for us not to be in the Word of God. I mean, how much time do we spend in the car? I mean, I can spend anywhere from 20 on the low end to 50 hours a week behind the wheel. I know Mike and Kathy now, they're spending 30 minutes, a couple times during the day, just driving back and forth from house number one to house number two. Glenn drives an hour plus from his house to Wadsworth. Jim, 45 minutes, home. Home to Orville. Bubba, how much time do you spend in the car driving from your house to different houses that you're spraying off? A lot. And what are we doing with that time? And we need to be focused. You know, the nice thing I like about having music, I'm not a great music connoisseur. I could barely tell you who Pink Floyd was, let alone any of his songs. So, you know, when I grew up, you know, my music was Keith Green and, you know, what's his name? And the other what's his name? But do you realize when you have good things being filtered, and even though you may not be conscious of listening to it, oh, his mercy is more. You know, and maybe I'm like, squirrel, but the music is still coming in. The words are still flowing. And when we put good things in, it'll replace bad things that are there. You know, that's one of Paul's principles. You know, take out the bad, replace it with something good. So, again, just all of that to dwell on, we have no excuse. The more and more we are filled, yeah, and confession time. For the last 2.5 years or so, we have given up watching the news. No cable news, not even Fox. Until about a month ago, I got so enamored with the whole prospect of the assassination attempt that I just got drawn right back in. I was a lot happier being a lot more ignorant of the things of the world, because that time that I was spending with the news now replaced the time that I normally would have been spending having music playing, having the scriptures playing, having a sermon playing. So pray for me. I vow now to let it go. If Beth can. She started it. But, and not everything, there's a lot of things, guys, that we do that are good. We do good things, listen to good things. But are they always the best things? Peter's writing here to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can, and I imagine there's some people who do, that'll take this verse and they'll kind of twist it a little bit. To those who've received the faith the same kind of ours, you know. So I'm writing to you whose faith is the same as mine. But there's others out there that have a faith that's not the same as ours, that as mine, but that's okay. I think what Peter's is saying is there's one faith. There's one hope. There's one gospel. And I'm writing to you, this group of people, these aliens and strangers from the first Peter, who have our same faith, the true faith.
That's by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that us? Guys, do we have that faith? The faith that can be found, that can be enhanced, that can be promised through the pages of God's Word. A faith that is not by my opinion, is not by your opinion, is not by John MacArthur's opinion, but is by the opinion of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Way back when we started John, a couple years ago, very first verse, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I made the statement at that point that Jesus Christ is the personification of God's Word. He is truth. This is truth because it is Him. And He is truth because this is Him. And this is how Peter begins. And we'll hit all three of those points next week as we continue. But just keep that in mind. You know, guys, not everything out there is completely right. We need to strive to get things right. And when we get them right, we need to have proper attitudes. Attitudes of humility as we present these things that are right. I mean, guys, I could take many different faces from this pulpit. I really can. Repent! Jerry's playing verse 14 of Just As I Am. I see a young lady out there who I know the Lord is speaking to, who needs to come forward. I can do that. But I want to be like Peter. I want the Holy Spirit to speak through me and to speak to you. Listen. Father, I thank you for this time. And Father, I just pray that, Lord, you would help us to see the truths of you in your word. Lord, not in different programs, not in different dramas, not in different whatever there is out there that people are trying to bait and switch on. Father, may we have our noses in your word. Lord, with all the technology and the ways that we can listen to you today, Father, may we be taking advantage of that. Lord, we can just as easy spend time watching General Hospital. But Father, may we set those things aside for the things that are better, those things of you. Continue, Lord, again, to grow us in the knowledge of grace of who you are. First in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.